Blog Talk Radio.
Morris with ET Radio, and tonight we're going to be discussing. Well, it seems to be I'm having technical difficulties, so it looks like Tommy dropped off. I hope you can hear me. I'll have to find out if everything's okay. Hold on, stand by, folks. I'll see if my husband can call in and see if he can get in. Tommy, if you got dropped off, I'm sorry. We're apparently having technical difficulties, folks. Oh, Tommy's back. Tommy, can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, is there anybody out there? Hello, TJ? Hello? Can you hear somebody? Can you say hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, is everybody there? Everyone's there. We're having hey, y'all, I'm having technical difficulty. I apologize, everybody, for calling in. I'm here. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, yes, but I'm fixing to hang up.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Tommy's back on. I think Cindy called in. Cindy, is that you? Or is that you? I see a 661 number. Who's that? I guess they're just calling in to listen. They never talk. Okay, well, everybody's on. Tommy, you're there, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Did you call in on two different numbers, Tommy, or is this the person that always calls and just...
No, I'm on a Skype number.
Okay. All right. Well, hi, everybody. It's Teresa, Tom, and Tommy right now, and whoever always calls in. So thank you, 661. They always call in. They're very supportive. Thank you so much, because they're very supportive, and they're always here, and I never know who they are, and I guess that's okay. Anyway, Tom dropped off. He was calling in just because we were having technical difficulties, and it's... When I'm talking in my phone, I don't. These little phones, you can't feel any energy or anything in them, you know. So, can you hear me, Tommy?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good, good. All right. Well, I'm trying to find my studio, and interestingly enough, I can't see it right now, so I've got to find it. But anyway, it was up, and now it's gone. So. Anyway, Tommy, tonight I'll get to it as soon as I can see it. I can't see what I normally am supposed to read, and I can't see my buttons. So y'all hold on just a minute. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk lately, but, you know, sometimes we have problems and they know it, and they really can't explain it. So we're on right now, and it's Wednesday night, and we usually discuss a controversial topic, which is UFOs on Wednesday night, because I set that up when Mutual UFO Network was having a conference. And so Wednesdays was set aside for their conference, but they're not having one, and I called them, and I can't find out when they're going to have their next conference. But John Gentry, that's agreed to come to mine and Tommy's Ascension Center. Wow, that's not me, y'all, making all that noise. Is that you, Tommy, making all the noise?
No,
you
must
have your headset on.
I got my headset on.
It must be Cindy. All right, must be Cindy, and she just wants to listen, I guess. Well, hold on. Somebody else is here.
Hi.
Wow. Okay. Is that you, Cindy?
Hi, this is Cindy.
Okay, there you are. Well, somebody's making a lot of noise, and it's coming across on my show. So can y'all
It's not me.
It must be 661. Okay, I'm going to turn them down. Okay. Whoever that 661 is, you're here, but since you didn't talk, I can't see you. So if you decide to want to talk to me and Tommy and Cindy, you'll have to call back in because you're making a lot of noise, and I can hear it, and it comes across on my show, and this is taped. So if you just I'm not trying to be mean, folks. It's just that this is heard worldwide, and it is recorded in our archives. And a lot of people can download these all over the world on their websites. And so we try to give them the best sound and, you know, just quiet as possible. So tonight is normally, like I said, normally it was how I promoted Mutual UFO Network because I believe alien civilizations exist. And that we are of extraterrestrial nature. However, we have a schism going on at various levels of thought. And I was going to be on Janet's show tonight. She has one before this one. And Janet and I are friends, spiritual friends. And we have a little bit of a schism going on because of the various levels, densities, and realms of people discussing whether they are God or if there's a higher God, or how can I put this? Janet and I are good friends on planet Earth, okay? We both believe in extraterrestrials, but what's happening right now in the world, in the supernatural spiritual world, is coming over into the paranormal world with the UFO beliefs. And it's a very hard sell because Janet and I both believe in spirit. We both believe in history. She's married to a PhD anthropologist, and she asked me to help them with the Ascension Center, which to me is a very spiritual place because I believe in one entity comes to the one, the whole, and the universe as a universal thinking, and a lot of people can only think at that level. And yet there's other people that believe in other levels, and I believe in the universe is one level, multiverse another, metaverse another, xenoverse another, omniverse another. And then Tommy and I were discussing at the omniverse level, the film, the other day. And then we have alpha verse for God Father, and the alpha and omega verse, which is the women, or the omega women as the God Mother. Now, I do believe in one God, folks. Don't get me wrong. I am a monotheist, I believe in monotheism, but I also believe in Mother God. And we're all trying to see how our ancestors worked with all of those. And so now there's a schism between science and philosophy and religion and what we call theosophy and education. And I got so flustered by all of it, being an extraterrestrial being and a spiritual being and a paranormal studier in metaphysics, that I created Ace Metaphysics, and I created Ace Folklife, and I created Ascension Center Organization. And then I met Janet, and she asked permission from me to take on one of my websites, and I gave up ascensioncenter.com. So somebody else got that, and that's okay because I did it. The years when you got when you've been on an old website builder from years back, I've got all these names. Well, now I've given up a bunch of them, and right now this guy wrote to me because he owns my name, Teresa Morris, and wants me to give him $20,000 for what was my original .com. And I didn't realize GoDaddy, which is mother of all domains, would not hold it, you know, in between. I was traveling or something, and when I got back, they helped put it over in this
But isn't
account.
That considered identity theft? I mean...
Not when you don't pay for it, because, see, here, that's
wow.
what I was getting to. I lost my name in GoDaddy because I was traveling, and then there's a 30-day thing. They say they hold them somewhere, but somebody else can scarf it from you. So this goes back to the old days when they said all this was going to be happening years and years, and they called it the dot-com crash because everybody didn't run out and grab names. So there's this huge bunch of people in the world that did go out and buy all these names. But the ones I filed with GoDaddy, I wanted, you know, for me, and I had TeresaMorris.com, and I built it up, for, you know, for several years. But somehow I let it drop. I didn't know it. And it, they got GoDaddy put it somewhere, and they put a bid on it. I put a bid in for $20 to buy my own name back because I let it elapse some time. And then they, even though I bought it, they didn't honor it somehow, and they were just too big for me to fight. So they let somebody else buy it, which
so
really
is
upsetting.
So what does the person do with your name?
Oh, he wants me to give him $20,000, and I won't
but,
do
but
it.
Does he for... does he do things pretending to be you?
Oh, I don't know, because there's a whole bunch of Teresa Morris out there. No, he just wants it. He wants me to pay him. It's like extortion to me.
I think you should stop
but...
making all these websites. You're biting off more than you can chew.
No, that was Teresa Morris only website. That's a domain name. So all these domains, see, Sandy, is what you do. You make these domains and you own the energy. You see what I'm saying? So I own ascensioncenter.org. But I told Janet she could have ascensioncenter.net because I let it go back. So she grabbed it. So now she owns ascensioncenter.net. And I just gave Tommy ascensioncenter.info so he can hold on to for information and make the Ascension Center magazine, and we can use it for our conference building with him under because we were a faith-based organization. You know, it's sort of like building a church, Cindy, you know, but we're a non-denominational faith-based organization.
But
so,
I would check what this guy is doing with your Teresa Morris because
I just
got
to let it go. I don't have that kind of money.
Defamation of character. I mean, you could file a pro bono lawsuit against him.
No, and, because he didn't break any laws. There's no laws he broke. GoDaddy didn't hold it when see you have it's all about money. It's in the internet business. There's domain registrars, and GoDaddy just happens to be the biggest one. So I went to them because you could get online, and I'd been you know online from 2000 to 2005.
And that's a pro se lawsuit, not pro bono, pro se. You know when you file
well,
it.
Anyway, he didn't break a law. He just grabbed my name because he knew I'd want it back. But I don't want to give him $20,000. So I made Teresa J. Morris now. So I have TeresaJMorris.com and TeresaJMorris.organization. So I've got the .com and the .org.
You should put things on your site, which you still use, saying that the one that this guy scarfed up, you're not affiliated with and someone else
yeah,
has
I'll
it.
I'll probably have to go do that. But anyway, Tommy's helping me with the Ascension Center, and that's what we're going to run the conference under. Plus, we have book authors. And so we have to have a separate room, and we call that Ace Folk Life Book Club because I needed a name bigger than me, and it's just T.J. Morris Books or T.J. Morris Publishing because not everybody publishes with me. So when I met Tommy, he already had his books done, so he didn't need my help, you know. So now my Timely Manner Books is just sitting on a shelf. We've got a Timely Manner Books website. But what we can do is have people go straight to Amazon now, because it put all the publishers pretty much are all just sort of out of business unless they want to do – they've taken over distribution channels. So we're all going through this big, big change in everything that I do. You know, I was a writer. I had to, my newspaper went out of business, so I started a magazine. Well, my magazine got outrageous in paper and printing color and all that, which we do here in Kentucky. So I had to give that up. So then I went straight to websites, and that's when I built up Age Spoke Life with my festivals outdoors from 2003. So I've got the Ace Folk Life Festivals, and folk life is a word that a lot of people don't understand, but it falls under archaeology. But see, our organization is as much about education as anything, because we write books, right? Now, who is 412? I forgot. Is that Louise?
Yeah, I'm here.
Louise? Hey, Louise, how you doing? Hey, that's a good night. It's supposed to be spiritual night, but we've been having a little problems with all these websites. But anyway, I think we got it worked out. So Tommy's going to run Ascension Center Info. Now, Louise, I know your sister. Everybody, this is Louise, Cindy, Tommy, and TJ talking. Now, Louise is a Mormon, but she's getting her own company going in Pennsylvania. And what we're doing is trying to have a homecoming gathering of people that sort of have similar interests to work together at least once a year at a conference we'll call a convention. And even the Southern Baptist Convention has theirs. And the Mormons, I used to go to these big, big things they had, and I never did get to go to, well, I've been to Salt Lake lots, but I never got to go to the big temple with the big, big, you know, everything, the huge Mormon Tabernacle Choir, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, but I'm running, just so you know, Louise, a faith-based organization, but we have a schism in that thing because Tommy's got one God, and Janet's got the polytheism, multi-God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I have to work with both of them, so I call mine an organization.
That's all you can do.
Yeah, so we're going to figure all this out, folks. So we're going to talk tonight about ET thoughts. Are we receivers of supernatural intelligence? And then I would like each person to sort of tell me how they think, because it's supposed to be UFO night, but I don't have any UFO conference right now. What I usually do is use a radio show to promote a conference. Well, we don't have a UFO conference, but Tommy's got one. So, Tommy, why don't you tell us what you're doing with your conference? Because this radio show is built around promoting conferences. Are you there, Tommy? Tommy, can you hear me?
Tommy, can you hear me?
Well, Tommy.
Tommy.
Well, he's online. But we can't hear him. All right. Well, anyway, so at least I'll sort of talk right now until he can figure out what's going on. But Louise would like you to come because it's going to be a spiritual in nature.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh, somebody dropped off. Was that Tommy? Let's see. Cindy, you're still here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm here. Louise is here, so it's a girl thing. Well, the 606
like
number,
Tommy.
The one that's always with it. I don't know, but what we can do is pull all this supernatural intelligence together, and it's going to be about spiritualism. Well, this must be Tommy. I don't understand. Let me see. There's two or three numbers popping on and off. Is that you, Tommy? Can you hear me?
It said I'm unmuted, so I'm here.
That's weird. Okay, well, I don't know who all these other people are, but Tommy, how many phones have you got on? Have you got a cell phone on?
No, I'm only on one phone.
Well, there's three phones. There's three different phones that come on and off when you're on, and I don't understand it.
Well,
so,
I'm only on one phone.
Okay. Well, folks, I'm just trying to run a board here that apparently I never feel like I've got control of my own radio show because Tommy can't get in as a co-host. And anyway, well, maybe that's Steve, but I thought Steve was going to do a Reiki healing tonight. Well, anyway, we're going to work with a lot of healers, and I don't mean to get y'all all involved in all this backdoor stuff because I'm trying to figure all this out because you can see I'm having to deal with the world and all the problems between websites and radio shows and phones and people that can get in and out, and then we're having to use their equipment and Skype doesn't work so well, but you got in on Skype. Did you say, Tommy, you're on Skype tonight, so it's working tonight?
Yes, I'm on Skype right now.
Okay, well, let's try to hold it, you know, try to keep that in here. And then Blog Talk Radio seems to somehow manually get involved with my show is all I can figure out. But anyway, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty or what Janet calls the meat of the subject. Let me go ahead and do my official, which normally I would have done if I hadn't had problems, is tonight it's ET Thoughts, Are We Receivers of Supernatural Intelligence? Now, y'all can be letting that sort of flow around in your brain. Now, these tags are spiritual synergism, self-help, paranormal, alien, ET, and the category is spirituality, and we're visible to everyone, and the duration's supposed to be 120 minutes, but we had a little bit of a difficulty, 20 minutes. Now, showtime is Wednesday, October 24th, 2012, at 2000 hours, and this is for my friends, and I hope I have a lot of friends. They look like they're friends on Facebook anyway, but some of them will come and join me nightly from 8 to 10, and they are the ones that help me figure out all this Ascension Center enlightenment process. So we're staging the future in life. With you as the author, okay, because we work with authors, and I'm trying to get everybody to write their own book. So now I figured out the noise was coming from that 661 number because I heard it again, so now it's on mute. And somehow, whoever it is, that's good, they call in from California. It might be that girl that came, she always liked to come and listen down south of California. So thank you. I remember she came on, but she doesn't like to talk. So anyway, we've got people that call in from all over the world and a lot more of them that listen worldwide, especially in the Netherlands. And so they've been supporting us. And what we can do is help all these people with these ascension centers. And they have mainly people that believe like I do with mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, and shamans. And now the Reiki healers have asked to join our group, as the spiritualism churches. They have spiritism. And so it's getting really, really cool because we've got all these people with all these different belief systems. But what we're starting to see in the Ascension Center organization is some of them believe in polytheism, like Janet Louise. Are you there, Louise? Maybe Janet.
Louise, yeah, I'm here.
Must have followed. Oh, you're here. Okay. But
yeah,
you believe in sort of like I did, because you were raised like I was, or you became, y'all were Presbyterian, right? And then you became a Mormon, and then I became a Mormon. And now I'm sort of a free universal thinker, but I believe in one God, but I believe we're supposed to do this Ascension Center for all religions and all worlds. And it brings in Buddhism and transhumanism everybody can believe whatever they want and rise above this religion, separate thinking thoughts. I don't know how to say it. So that's where we're at tonight, folks. And I'm calling it ET Thoughts, Are We Receivers of Supernatural Intelligence? So who wants to start on that subject? Anybody got any thoughts?
Well, I think we all receive intelligence from our maker. I mean, have you ever prayed or pondered about something, what to do, and you get an answer? Answers your prayers and answers what you're seeking, asking for. And it's just like I think we all have that ability to contact with our creator in that communication. Because, you know, it's just like even little things like, say, you don't start out on a trip when you want to and you go a little bit later and here there's an accident. So I think there's a protector that we communicate with that, you know, helps us with our daily lives. It's like one time I had this gold necklace and I lost it. And I said, where did it go? You know, and then all of a sudden I start walking out my front door and there it was on the street. So it's just like it just told me where it was. So I'm just saying, I think we all communicate. I don't know if it's with an extraterrestrial, but I think there is someone that's watching our lives and knows our problems and knows our situation, and it's always there. But when you go to the extraterrestrials, that I don't know about. I think we all feel that there's something out there in the universe that, you know, there is life, there is intelligence, and we'd like to communicate, but I think we have a tough time because of, you know, our world situation. Are we ready to make contact? Are they ready to contact us? I mean, I watch Star Trek and all those different series and different kinds. And
yeah, I did too. Go ahead.
It just seems like it's when we're ready to receive them. And I just think that our world has so many problems, and that when a different entity would try to contact, we probably attack it, you know. We would do that first rather than have the patience, you know, because we're on the edge all the time. You know, look how many people get killed on our planet every day because we just haven't got that maturity where we can grow into a society that's peaceful. I mean, we have more murders in our country and in the world. We're always at war. I mean, to me, who would they contact here? Would it be me or you? Or what would we do about it? You know, it's a really tough, difficult world we live in. So that's just my thought. I mean,
well, that's a big piece of the puzzle. And a lot of people, I've had those same thoughts. And yet I've, you know, died, left my body, which you and I have discussed before, but my heart really stopped and my brain and everything. So it's a miracle that I can talk at all. But
yeah.
Some people gain it back and some don't. And some have stroke, you know, stroke. And I have to admit, it was a little hard for me to learn to walk and talk again. When I was a kid, it was really, really hard because I always had a little bitty body and a little bitty brain. And so it's really, really hard for me. And I mean, it was terrible because my spirit, and Louise, I still remember this to this day. My spirit wanted to run and play, and I couldn't walk. So they, for months, my mama would have to, I want to go outside so bad, and it was so easier for her to take care of me in the house, you know, because, you know, think about it. Her little baby who had hepatitis, which they didn't know where, she was mad at the world because I was so sick, and they had to come and bring something up from New Orleans in 57 to clean my blood, and then she had to feed me liver. It was really hard on her and my dad and my grandmother. And by the time they got me home, they had, you know, strict ways they had to take care of me. So it was very sad for all the adults because it made it so hard for them. Plus, mother had my sister Brenda and my brother Nat. So there was only three. She had Huey in 59. So Huey wasn't here yet, my brother. But I remember they would have to, I would just cry. I want to go outside and play. And they're like, but you can't get out of bed. And so my grandmother bought a red hammock. I love that red hammock. I fell out of it a couple of times in the beginning. I didn't know how to keep it. You know, I couldn't move, but I'd try to lean or something, and I'd fall out of it on the ground and knock the breath out of me. You start crying. Mother and them would have to get me because I couldn't even get up off the ground. And they tried to teach me. So for a while, they sat out there with me. So that's love. You know, that's love and caring, of parental guidance. And it took me a long time. Well, those people would come, and I could see extraterrestrial ships. So, what, you know, as a little girl, I had had exposure to them as a child. Had 3, 4, 5.
What do you mean
that
you could see? What do you mean you could see extraterrestrial ships? I don't follow.
It's like a little. I guess what Cindy calls orbs, but they're when I was a little girl and I would watch them play outside my crib, they would bounce around, one or two, and I could see them. And
they were small, like little lights or objects in your room?
Well, they're like I've seen them all my life, but no, these were spaceships, actually. But the sun shining on them.
I mean, how big were they?
I don't know because they were in the sky. See, now you got to realize that I've seen them my whole life.
Uh huh.
I've seen them my whole life, but when I was a little girl, up in the sky with during the day, a cloudy day, they would zap it in real fast. I remember what they looked like in my mind because we all have a screen of the mind, and then we restore memories.
Uh-huh.
And the memories are, how we think we are. They were recorded. So I can remember them bouncing in the sun and the sun's rays catching them. And it'd be one, and then it'd be zap, and another one, and then a three. And it seemed to me there was a lot. Sometimes it'd be just one, sometimes two, sometimes three. Well, when I had hepatitis, I was outside. They came back, and I would watch them do that. So they entertained me for hours and hours. I mean, it kept my mind. Huh?
You were by yourself?
Yeah, outside in the hammock. Mother would have to go in and she was a cleanaholic. She'd be waxing the floors and taking care of the little two kids and everything. And she'd be watching me out the back in the red hammock because she could see me while she was washing dishes and all that. But they could see me, and I would just lay there and watch them for hours. It was, amazing to me. So they helped me where I could finally start getting up and walk. It took a little while, which you could say, oh, that was nature. That wasn't ETs. That was nature. Okay. I'm not going to argue with anybody. But I remember walking I finally got enough. I've been, months living like this. And I tried to get up one day, and I fainted at least 2 or 3 times because I was so weak. So I fainted. And I remember laying there on the ground, flat on my back, and I'd made it almost to the house because I had to pee. And they didn't give me no way to pee, and I used to, I think they gave me a bell or something. I remember that I had something because they didn't have cell phones back then. But I did a yell because Mom would have the window, the little kitchen window. It was a little brick home, if y'all want to picture it in your mind. It was like a 3-bedroom brick home. It was a... in a little, we called it New Nackety Subdivision in West Monroe, Louisiana. And we lived on 115 Diane Street. Anyway, she opened a little window, and I could usually tell her, well, somewhere she was either folding clothes or something. But she got really mad at me because she found me laying out by the back door because I was missing when she looked back at the hammock. But, the first time she got mad at me, but the second time, because I was so concerned, this, a week or two or some months later, I was real worried about getting, I had to go pee. It was another one of those things, let's say 2 weeks or months where if I need to go pee, then I could see her, she'd get me, and everything was great. She'd carry me in the house. Well, the second time I remember trying to get to the house, and I almost made it, and I fainted again. But this time, I could see the orb over the house, and it came, and this energy sort of woke me up from because I was gone mentally or whatever, if you want to say, thoughts. And now, I don't know if I was in Oz, if I went there. You know how Wizard of Oz does? She bumps her head, but you don't know to the end of Wizard of Oz whether she bumped her head or... Really, it makes you think it's really going on. So what I was thinking, now y'all just stay with the story here. I thought it was really going on, but maybe I just bumped my head. But I stood up out of my body, and I saw the spaceship. I saw the really pretty person. You can call it an angel if you want. Pick me up. And you know, I could see the energy come from the, like a beam, angel, light, person, hologram come out of the UFO and stand me up and help me back up. And I just got, I remember getting all confused, and they seemed to know my thoughts. And then I remembered, oh, they were the two people I saw when I was in the hospital. They were hovering over my bed when I died, and they took care of me while I died. I mean, I didn't have wings. They were just angels. I told people I saw angels. I told Mother, Mama, the angels visited me again. I did, you know, I came in the house. I walked in here by myself. She said, I see that. She said, how'd you do that? I said, the angels came. She said, the same ones you saw in the hospital. I said, yeah. She said, well, did they tell you something, or did they have wings? I said, no, they didn't have wings. I said, but they had, I didn't call it a ship because I didn't know what it was. I just said they came from the sky, and I don't know how they come, but they left again, and I don't know how, but they stood me up, and they told me I didn't have to worry anymore about you yelling at me because I couldn't walk, because I had enough healing time. So they, Mama, I fainted again, but you didn't know it, and I was scared you were going to get mad at me again for trying to come to the house to pee. And so she said, well, where'd they go? I said, I don't know, Mama. I don't know how they come or how they go. I just know they're angels. So that... Yeah, I'll stop and let somebody else talk about, you know, their, if they have a story like that. But that was my, and then I could walk from then on. So I don't know if you want to call it a miracle, or they healed me. You know, they needed me to have be downtime for a while, and so I could get used to seeing them or dealing with them or what. But then, now this is only one story, Louise. I've got so many stories through my life, but this is the one. When you're a little kid, this is my story of how I got visited by angels and how they saved my life in the hospital and then came again. And when I couldn't walk or nothing, they, you know, helped me get up and gave me strength and kept my mommy from being mad at me. I really didn't like it when I was a really, really good kid. I mean, I was one of those that everybody loved and always looked pretty, that mother put little bows on my socks before they even had bows and lace on socks, and on my panties. You know, I was very, very special kid. And so I was well taken care of. And the angels, you know, how do you tell the kid and me, oh, that wasn't an angel, that was an extraterrestrial, you know, but I don't know. So to me, these are ET thoughts. And when I was writing for 5 years for UFO Digest, I was getting upset with people because they were calling all aliens evil and devils and mean and all of that, you know. Somebody fell off. I don't know who fell off. It must be somebody. So what do you think? You know, Louise, what do you think? Because the little kid in me still believes
like
in angels.
Interesting. I think when you're a child, you're more sensitive to those type of visitations, and I believe it's possible that you know, angels could have come to you. It doesn't sound to me like extraterrestrials. I mean, because they were just loving, caring beings like angels.
Well, see, here's the rub for me is, see, Louise, you still think that maybe ETs, I don't know, I'm just saying, this is what I'm picking up from you. Is, do you think that all extraterrestrials mean aliens? Because, see, I started telling people, you need to separate these people. So let's call aliens bad, like the Sigourney Weaver aliens, you know, like the bad kind. And ETs are good kind, in my mind.
Okay,
you see what I'm saying?
Aliens is the monsters, and ET is like that cute little creature. Okay.
Yeah, sort of something like that. So that's sort of what I'm going to promote,
I would say aliens is a term for from another planet. I mean, we even call people aliens here from another country. So that term is kind of confusing. So I would say call them extraterrestrials, and there's good extraterrestrials and there's bad, just like there's good and bad people.
Okay. Now, I want to hear, but you see, that's the schism, and then that's what I'm working on this planet is as I help myself, and I find all these words, even though I use the words, different people attach energy, good or bad, where the words are charged. And so I'm working with all these people, and I've just been writing my thoughts for years, depending on whether it was my real thoughts or were they guided thoughts or were they channeling, was I channeling? And I think I've done a little bit of all of it because some of my readers, and I had thousands of readers on UFO Digest, and they wrote to me for years about all this. We've all been working on all this stuff for years and years. Well, since 2007, and then I made it up till August, and I quit writing pretty much to concentrate on these conferences. So that was 8, 9, 10, 11. I spent 5 years exactly writing about all this stuff. So I got all these followers that read my stuff, whole bunches of people. They know I'm trying to work this story out. And what I called it was Taken Up. So I'm supposed to write a final book called Taken Up that follows the Steven Spielberg story, Taken. And that's what we've been promoting for 5 years, so we can make a movie that follows the Taken with Steven Spielberg. And I'm like the little girl Allie. And so, you know, this is where we're at right now. But now I'm 60 years old, and we don't know how to and I've got all these stories in me about all these extraterrestrials and angels and how they've helped me through life. You know, how they, like when I was driving a big truck and they'd take over handling the steering wheel. And all these people out there in the world have similar stories. You know, whether they fell on the ground or they died. And this is only one time because I died at childbirth with Gigi. So, you know, I have a timeline. And everybody has a timeline with all these different lives and deaths. And some of us are, I believe, in incarnation. I don't know if you do, Louise, but they believe in reincarnation. And these are things that some people can talk better than I can about it.
One trip here, and that's it. Then you go on to the eternity. I think one trip here is enough. I don't want to come back.
So you don't have any memories of past lives, and that's okay. But you believe you were only born here one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is just, and that you only leave. And see, that's the normal way to think. And this is where I get people mixed all up and confused. And I'm trying to sort this out for everybody in the world, not just one person. And every time I meet a person, I have to learn how they think, how they were brought up in their culture, what their religion is, what their theosophy is, their overall belief system, and how they work within themselves to stay alive on planet Earth. And my bottom line is I'm against suicide. No matter, you know, I believe we're all here to live body, mind, and spirit, and that we're all here in the birth, life, death rotation, or having the birth, life, death experience.
Yeah, here to experience.
Right? And I can pretty much get people to admit that we all agree. But after that, you have to start splitting hairs, because every time you say a word past that, it becomes charged with energy that they're looking in their brains where to find the meaning for that word. It's almost like teaching people how to speak English, you know, because there's degrees for people that want to learn how to speak English to foreigners. Well, I don't know other languages well enough to know how to translate it to them, right? So that's where I'm at now. And I'm called a messenger to some people and a translator to other people and a channel to other people and a life coach to other people and a guide to other people. So it depends on who I'm talking to and
right.
what they call me. And so I'm trying to get everybody that's my friends that come on my radio show to help me figure out how to help all my friends that are either teachers or they just want to know more because I write books and I put all this out there in the paranormal world. But a lot of them are spiritual, and some of them are just, they say, I don't believe in God, I just believe in ET and aliens and UFOs. And then I have some people that are in the occult, and they're not devil worshipers, but they write on UFO Digest with me, and they believe in Wicca and the old school and a lot of druids, and a whole bunch of them believe in stuff of the old way, or they call themselves druids, and they practice Samhain, and a lot of them call themselves witches. And it used to be in the group here close to me over in E-Town, because I went to, I was at Bowling Green. It was a Bowling Green group. I used to go to theirs because they were met at the University of Kentucky, and they had this whole group, and they were felt like they were in the Bible Belt, but they all met, there's a bunch of them, and they called themselves witches. And I had to go see what they were about. And some of them were really little old ladies that sit and weaved, and they would make little capes, things, shawls for people and crafts. And a bunch of them did that medieval, you know, where you dress up in those costumes and you go over to the park, and they all meet at the park, and they have these old medieval, I've never been to one, but I've sort of seen them after it's over when I, you know, to see them in their costumes. So I don't know what all they do. They act out. I think it's called role playing, or they act it out. But Cindy may know more about that. And then what else? Anyway, I'm working with all these groups. And when I'm there, I have to be able to be open-minded enough to let them talk to me, even though they know I'm an outsider. It's like I'm a researcher or investigator. I'm not in their group. And how I got into this was writing for the newspaper. And I found out it was fun. And so that's sort of how that happened. Tommy, you want to talk for a few minutes? Cindy, you want to talk for a few minutes? Cindy, you got me on mute? I think Cindy's just listening. Well, Tommy, how come you're not talking? I see your number, but I can't hear you at all. Am I the only one that's supposed to talk tonight? Hello? Did I put y'all to sleep? Well, I can see Cindy. Am I on? Can y'all hear me? Tommy, can you hear me? Maybe it's me. Well, I'll call back. It says we're on. Okay, everybody there, can you hear me now? Did I disappear? Tommy, are you there? Cindy? This is a strange show tonight, folks. I don't know what to do. I can see them. I don't know if you can hear me or not. So maybe it's me. Anyway, I'll call back in. Hello, Cindy, are you there? Can you hear me? Well, I guess I'm connected. I can't tell, folks. We've been having some technical difficulty tonight. So I was going to try to get Cindy to talk. And Luis and me and Tommy, I called back, and then they fell off. And I was going to get Tommy to try to talk about his experiences. And I can't even hear him. And I don't know what's going on there. And I can see Cindy, but I can't hear her tonight. And that's interesting. So I don't know if she's just listening or not. But if you people can help me, help you each talk about your thoughts of the supernatural intelligence, that would be nice if you call back in. And Cindy must just have it on listening or she fell asleep. And let me see if I can find Tommy again and let Tommy talk. Tommy, is that you?
Yeah, hello? I just got on. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. Okay, Tommy, I'm sorry, two other people have been listening, but they weren't talking, and Louise was talking, but she fell off, and I can see Cindy, and I don't know if she's just got us, you know, she's just listening, but she's not participating at all, which is not like Cindy. So it's your turn to talk about ET thoughts. Are we receivers of supernatural intelligence? Tommy, how much did you hear? Was I blocked, or was there a long time of no talking, or what were you hearing?
Well, I heard you talking, but I couldn't respond, and I was unmuted. And I kept clicking on a thing to try to unmute myself, and it wouldn't unmute me. So I tried calling in about three times, and I couldn't get in. Then my computer froze, and I had to turn off my computer.
It's like we're being attacked, isn't it? Because Cindy is on here, but I was like, what's going on? Because nobody would help me with this show except Louise, and they cut her off, or she hung up. Is that all? Can you hear all that sound?
It sounds okay to me right now. Hello? Yes,
okay.
I can hear you.
All right. Well, you go ahead, because, folks, if we get cut off again, we'll call back in until our time's up. We've got one more hour. Cindy, if you can hear us, your number shows, and it shows that you're on, but I can't hear a thing. So I don't know where this interference has been coming from on our shows, guys. I really don't. It's not me. Tommy, you know what we were talking about last night? It's happening again tonight.
Right.
And you know, Cindy doesn't stay. Cindy always has to participate in the conversation.
Right.
She always has something to contribute. And she's just dead as a doornail. But you know what? Her number's right here, and her lights are on. But nobody's home.
Well,
so can you help me? You did you hear anything I said about the aliens versus the ET and how I'm trying to separate it? Did you hear any of that?
Well, the last I heard, the story was about when you were talking. Then I got lost, cut off, and stuff. So all I heard was noise. But I heard the part about experience. You said it's only one of my experiences. I heard all that part, and then after that I didn't hear anything. I heard Louise say something, and she started asking a question or talking. I mean, I know she was asking you questions. I heard all that part, but that's about all I heard. I didn't hear anything about you talking about the differences.
Well, it's going to be interesting to go back and listen to this radio show, folks, because I have no idea what's recorded and what's not recorded. So I apologize, but we're just having, I don't know if it's psychic attacks or alien attacks or communication. It could be solar flares. You know, it could be anything. But
well,
right
I
now
say,
I can hear Tommy, so let's continue. But, yeah, what would you say?
I would say it's Blog Talk Radio because every time I call in, it said you're unmuted, and then all of a sudden it said muted, and then it would just lock me out again. So I never get to talk, and it happened three times today already.
All right. What I'm going to do, folks, so Tommy, the subject is ET thoughts. Are we receivers of supernatural intelligence? And I gave one of my experiences as a little girl, and we've got an hour and 2 minutes left. So, Tommy, while you talk, I'm pushing this live chat online, and I'm going to tell them for the last two nights that
right.
I've had trouble. So would you talk to the people so in case this show is recorded? You know,
okay.
I think it's recorded. If you heard that, that means we got that much recorded. So you go
all
on
right.
with your ET thoughts. Are we receivers of supernatural intelligence? And then I gave an experience. So now you do your part of the show. You get this out.
All
okay?
right.
Go ahead.
Okay. This sounds good. For me, all my things started when I was very young. But I wasn't totally understanding what was happening as far as the communication with, I use the word deities and angels. My contact with aliens was physical, so I had a witness with me, so it wasn't a dream, it wasn't an imaginary thing. And I was only 12, so I don't think the government had to go out of their way to brainwash two kids in their house about seeing an alien walking through the house and then the ship taking off. But in the interim, as I started getting older, I always started seeing ships follow me. Now, TJ says the same thing. I'm protected. I don't know. TJ works with a certain race a lot more than I do because I am more grounded to the physical realm and the spiritual connection that I have. As being communicators, I have to say it's quite different for everyone. I mean, most people want to believe they're a communicator. They do talk to spirit and angels or aliens. I was listening to Bashar, who claims to be channeling this great higher being and all the alien being and stuff like that. It all sounds good, but that's about all it does sound. It sounds like something. It's not real. He just, the whole Roswell thing, like he knew everything that was going on with it and everything else. It's amazing how people take whatever facts they can find, stick them into their little program, and then they go on about whatever they want to add to that to make it reality for them. But as far as channeling the communications, very few people truly do. And I'll go on by experiences for me in a second, but as far as people that I know, in the past, in history, the greatest Native elders channeled, and they got false information. Nothing they were ever given helped save them. So I'm saying if people think they're talking to these great aliens and they're helping us, you'll listen to me. I know some people think I need to be nicer and friendly. I said, yeah, that would be good if we had thousands of years longer to play the game. I just feel time's running short. We need to wake up. We need to work together as a race. We need to be responsible as a race. And I don't think we're attaining any of them right now. To all those New Age people that say they're doing all this stuff. I mean, I just listened to Thrive. Sounds all good, but it sounds like a lot of mush-mush when you hear the very end of what we can do about it. I mean, it's what everybody can do is pay their bills, try to get food on the table, try to get their children clothes. I mean, that's what we're forced to deal with, not like, well, I'm going to save a couple $1,000 every week or every month, and then I'm going to buy plane tickets and travel the world and meet people. And it's not like that. This is the real world. And sure, there's a few people that have that kind of money, but not all of us, and very few of us do. So when we want to communicate, we want to be recognized on the planet, we want to be recognized among our peers, and publicly we want the fame, a little bit of fame that we can try to think we can get. So with that, all the beings that I met with on the inner worlds, they don't deal with the physical world. They don't tell me anything about the physical world. I mean, it's kind of obvious what's happening here. It's not like the gold powder dust is going to cover the planet. We'll be able to scoop it up and then put it in our pockets and buy whatever we want. We create these imaginary ideas. Well, as far as what I know and feel is true, aliens will help save the planet from being destroyed, not from being destroyed by people as far as killing each other. But if we send a nuclear bomb to blow up the planet, they will try to stop it. If we try to bomb another country and blow up the country, they will try to stop it, at least of right now. And it's been proven over the past couple of years at a couple of the nuclear bases and stuff like that. But in the interim, they're not here to feed us. They're not here to give us clothes. And they're not going to be taking us on joyrides around the universe. I don't know what person really thinks they deserve something like that, and for what reason? To bring what truth out? What is the truth that all these people are bringing out? Which I feel we're doing with the conference and what we're doing right now is trying to bring people to a level where they look at what they say and think. Not just say it because somebody else told them that, not just say it because they read it, but to experience what they're really saying and then prove it to themselves that they are what they say they are. They live the way they say they are. I mean, yeah, you could be nice, but what goes on in your thoughts and your subconscious mind? I was empathic. I guess I was about 26, 27. Don't ask me how it came to me. I didn't ask spirit to be empathic or nothing. And suddenly it was like I just started listening to everybody, what they were thinking. And I did it for a couple of weeks because I thought it was just my mind going crazy. And then finally I had to challenge it to see how real it was. And the way you do that is you listen to somebody, what they just said, and you say, excuse me, are you thinking about going to Mars? Are you thinking about going on a train to Chicago? I mean, and then I kept saying it. Everybody I ever said anything to, they said, how do you know that? Well, how do you know? And I would never get into the hardcore stuff that most people think in their mind. I mean, men have these horrible thoughts going on daily. Not as much as women, but now I guess changing for women too, that they're starting to have more obscenity, kind of weird fantasies in their minds all the time now. But in the interim, it lasted for years, and I didn't think I was going to live through it. Finally, I begged spirit. I said, I can't deal with this gift. It's not, I can't look at people, because everybody, I mean, I didn't see spiritual people anywhere. During that time, I started learning how to see auras, which is very easy, which we all should do. Because not only, and you can't say, because somebody says red is this color, or red means that, it's not true. I mean, if we both radiate red, I could be very angry, and you could be having different kind of energy as far as healing energy. Green energy isn't just the healing energy. We relate to, we only have four primary colors, and that's where all our colors come from. But when we say auras of this and auras of that, this crystal's for that. Different crystals work for different people. Different stones work for different people. It's different. We are all different. If we were all one, we would be one. We wouldn't have to have 50 million bodies to be one. The idea that we are all one. All right, for me, when I was empathic, and I challenged God all the time, and every time I challenged God, my gift was granted. People say, well, that's your higher self. Fine. But whenever I faced something, I always did it in the name of God. I mean, I was going through a divorce, and I challenged the devil. And I said, oh, everybody says the devil's so powerful. If you're so powerful, I asked it to do something. It couldn't do anything. So it's our mind game that most of us deal with. And I'm not saying we're crazy. It's what we're here to learn. How to let go of the mind. I mean, some people call it the monkey mind. You call it a lot of things. But to me, when I experienced all my things that I went through, when you step out of your body, which I did many times, I had four death experiences, and when you do that, you become more aware. And I say this over and over, one experience can start changing your life. And you can make it like a big change or a little change. But it doesn't give you the totality of all the truth that exists in the universe, the inner worlds, and the spiritual realms. Most people have one experience, one death experience, or whatever it takes for them to get this outrageous thing going on. Not a body experience, a real one, and then you have to prove it. And then if you could prove that it was real, then you have an experience to start with. But just being out of the body one time and doing astral projection doesn't explain the spiritual realms at all to anyone. And when I left my body, I'll go into this experience because I think it was the biggest change in my whole life. I went to a group of people. It was called Ekankar at the time, and still is, but I'm not in it. But my wife at the time was afraid to bring me because I was into hypnosis, doing past life regression and things like that. She goes, oh, I don't know if they'll let you in. So finally I got the okay to go to this meeting. So I get to this house and there's 13 people there, and the whole conversation they had was about planes. and they said this plane and that plane. I use the word realms, not planes, but they said plane. And they said, okay, we're going to do a spiritual exercise. And then I almost started cracking up in front of everybody. I said, how do you spiritually exercise? And it's okay, everybody close their eyes and start chanting. So everybody was chanting a sound. In Ekankar, they use Om, but the one that they prefer is H-U, and it's pronounced Hu. I mean, it's a good sound to chant. It vibrates very high, and it can bring you where you need to go. But they were all doing it. And I got my eyes half open, watching everybody with their eyes closed, chanting this sound. And it was funny. And it was so funny, I had to keep biting my tongue so they couldn't hear me laugh. After about 5 minutes, my tongue was falling off. And I said, I really have to leave my tongue alone or I'll chomp it off. So I finally stopped biting my tongue. And all of a sudden, it was like some big guy was standing in back of me. And he took both hands and started pushing on my head. And I'm doing all my strength, trying to keep my head from just being pushed down. And like, just imagine like he's pushing so hard, and then he just moves his hands real fast. And suddenly you're standing outside your body. Well, that's exactly the way it went down for me. But when I'm standing in front of my body, looking at myself, there's a very important thing that people have to learn in the word fear at that moment. That's the fear that some people have to learn not to have, because if you do, that spiritual gift will disappear for a long time. But when I went in, I'm standing looking at my body. I look around and see all these other 13 people still chanting with their eyes closed and everything. And I look up to the ceiling. The ceiling opens up, and this beautiful, giant white ball of light comes right through the ceiling. And my natural instinct was to put out my hands and grab it, which I did. I saw the next 10 years of my life. It was like I was in a train going real fast, seeing all my events going by on both sides. It was incredible. I mean, it took me years to realize how much of it I saw already. But as I was doing it, you can't retain all that in one kind of like conscious awareness state. And it took a while to filter and learn each of the things that I already saw before they all happened. So then I was standing back in front of my body, looking at everybody still doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden I felt that connection where I popped right back inside my body and I opened my eyes. So that was my first real out-of-body experience, which it took me a while to prove it to myself, because I said, like, I was showing all these things and I had to watch some of them happen before I realized I was showing it all before it happened. Why and all those things, it's a totally different story. But as far as communicating, we communicate with things, and it's what level we vibrate at and what level we can deal with. Each realm, when I learn to travel to different realms, has a vibration. And you hear the word higher vibration. Higher vibrations cannot fit into this world. If you're a super high spiritual being, if you don't lower your vibration, you can't come into this world or it would explode. All right? The same as if you go into a higher vibration world, you explode. So the idea that, oh, I'm vibrating so high. No, you can't vibrate any higher than the frequency that this world allows. Same as all the frequencies we use on the radio to listen to different stations and programs and send signals out on. There's a band of frequencies we work within. And that's what we vibrate in, a certain frequency, certain vibration levels. Physical objects, I mean, like if you raise the frequency high enough, a glass shatters. I mean, that's because it can't vibrate at that frequency. And that's in the physical realm. So imagine going into a higher realm that's vibrating 10 million times more powerful than this vibration. And you got this little wood body or little cardboard box, and you walk into this thing that's like a billion times the flame burn, and you just roast and burn up in a second. But when we talk to communicators, and I did learn how to meet with deities, angels, beings in the interdimensional realms, they have different things to teach. And I really feel weird or sad or whatever words that might help you perceive what I'm going to try to say, that all these things are trying to help us understand how to live life. I mean, whether you believe in the Ten Commandments or not, that's your choice, but they're simple laws. They're not bad. They don't hurt people. I'm not talking about Moses when he came out with 565 laws or whatever it is. Not that. I'm talking about the first 10, all right, that people cannot live by. They're not harmful. They could help a society live in peace and in connection with each other and respect. And those simple things we lost. So what some super alien race is going to come down and say, love everybody, and the world's going to become instantly pure, loving beings, when mankind still can't accept that women are equal to them? This is we're going into the female energy, which I spent 25 years working with. It is different. And most men will never accept it. They say they can or say they will. But it's a different thing. And it revolves around not money, not power. The sexual energy is becoming pushed into it to make it a major part, which it really isn't. I'm married to a Buddhist, and the relationship we have is kind of different than most people. If you're married to a nun, you have to respect those kind of vows and stuff. So, yeah, when you let go of the things, the desire is kind of there, but when you act on a desire, it becomes reality. And that's what happens in mankind with child abuse, sexual abuse, and all the things that are happening, mind, ego, and control. So when people say they communicate, I'm still waiting for one person that said they channeled Michael, Gabriel, or the Council of Nine, and come to this world.
Can I just tell you something? Let me tell you, why wouldn't these people just come down themselves? Can you answer that question? Why do they need to take somebody else's body?
That's the problem. If you're a super higher spiritual being, you wouldn't want to go into an ant or a caterpillar or a butterfly or even a monkey or a human being for that matter. If you're that good, or not good, you're that spiritually aware, why would you want to take a form? Oh, so they can hear you? I mean, if you go through all the stories, the angels came down, the deities came out. They didn't take on a human form and stand there in a body and say, well, I'm this. And they try to push that all into Jesus, which he never claimed to be God. He always said, my Father. He never said, me, it's always me. He didn't say, I am all that you seek. I mean, that's a different wording, which the devil uses too. And when you pass something and it says, I am all that you seek, I am all that you need to know, it's your ego, which darkness or demons or entities can use and make you believe you're dealing with the highest source. Because when you say, I let go of my ego to find, to see the truth, because when you stand before the higher God, which you do someday, not God itself, that's way down the road, when you stand in front of a God, you get challenged. Nobody goes past any God just because they say they're more. They can't just say God doesn't exist, and they can't say I'm equal to that, because you will be challenged. When you can vibrate and send the right frequency and energy and be that, you can go past the gods. In each realm, that vibration has to be a totally different sound and level of vibration. I spent 25 years going through five gods. Hold on.
Hello.
Hi, TJ.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Wow. Well, Tommy dropped off. Can you talk for a few minutes? Because he's gone.
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Do you have something you can share? Did you have any experiences that you think might have been angels or extraterrestrials? Because the theme is ET thoughts are receivers of supernatural intelligence. But I don't want it to be dark or anything bad, Cindy. So tonight, can you, did you have any good things spiritually, that, you know, more so like, you know, you were talking about?
I always, you know, when I go into Reiki, I get all this stuff.
Why don't you tell us what Reiki is? Why don't you tell us, how does that deal with ET thoughts and supernatural intelligence? So
like,
that's sort of what you're going into, right?
Somebody was saying, I think it might have been Tommy or you, that when we get communication, it's from God. And I don't know who it's from. Like, to me, when I go into Reiki and I get communication, I always thought, you know, it's probably my higher self, like we have, you know, our physical self, and then we have our God self. But, you know, it could be other entities, and I'm always getting all sorts of communication. And,
okay, I think
you know, you
Tommy
can just,
came back on, but we can see where he was. Tommy, I'm letting Cindy talk, too, right now, because you fell off. Can you hear me? I don't get this. I've got two numbers up for Tommy, and I can't hear him at all.
Me neither.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I can't hear him. But go ahead. So,
just
you
know,
just letting him know his numbers.
I was
going to
say, you always can ask a question and then just listen in your mind what the answer is. And it's a good habit to get into doing that kind of stuff. Sometimes we know these things and we forget to do them.
How would you teach that to somebody if they didn't think you were crazy? Because so many people are taught now in the old paradigm. Don't talk to yourself. And if you hear people, if your voice is, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not trying to tell people, because that's still used in psychology, is if you hear voices, they use that as the main thing. Because so many of these killers out there say, God told me to kill this person.
You know,
God.
Remember that
and
they're
also... And then
you've
got these guys with bombs, you know, they
right.
think they're doing,
also, they're
killing
also
people
programming
in the name of God.
You know, they're also programming people to do these things, and they plant a suggestion, and they also, I mean, that's like the whole thing about Montauk, that they would broadcast certain frequencies in, you know, I don't remember which frequency it was, but they would broadcast certain frequencies to be able to, you know, mind control huge populations. And they said they would also beat up boys and then broadcast that frequency out. So, I would say the dark side is very much in cahoots with the government, probably is the government, and they're constantly doing things to lower our vibration, you know,
well,
like
boards.
Well, we
can't say that, though, Cindy, because the government is, you and I worked for the government, so you're calling us bad people. Do you get it? So you can't
just say the
government.
I think all organizations at the top are, you know, take their orders from
Satan. I don't like you to say it's just the government, because these stupid, dumbed-down people in the world that are by that. And then
well,
they think,
you know, I
they may come up and kill you because you work for the government, just because
well,
you work for the
short
government.
Time, and I think a
you
lot
get it,
of...
And you just said that. So you
but
put that
I,
on
finish?
You. You just... Yeah,
I don't know
what you're
saying what
you're
I
telling.
Said. But
the government. You and I were the
humans,
government.
I believe that humans are very messed with. They put a lot of things in food. They give them bad education. The vaccines, the horrible ingredients in foods, now the GMO'd foods, the chemtrails. There are a lot of things that are interfering with our ability to be healthy and to be able to access our God source.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, who's that? Was that Louise? Hi, Louise. Who's just said, mm-hmm.
Who is that? You can talk. We can hear you. You said, uh-huh. You want to talk? I guess they don't want to talk, but thank you. So there's two people listening.
Uh-huh.
So we can't. Well, anyway, okay. Well, thank you for listening. So they're listening, so maybe that's not Tommy. So that's a part, you know, that could be people calling in on Skype.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, can
you hear me?
Hello, who is that?
Tommy.
Yeah, I can hear you.
What happened?
Who? Is that you, Tommy?
Yes,
gee, you
me.
Sounded like a girl, didn't he, Cindy? Did
yes,
you say
that must
uh-huh?
have been someone else.
Yeah, there's other people on here.
Yeah, but but I don't think that humans are stupid. They want us to believe that we're stupid. We're, you know, constantly getting that education that we're stupid, we're bad. You know, even the religion teaches, you know, Adam and Eve that we are deserving of punishment because of Adam and Eve. And, you know, I think humans are extremely manipulated, and we're up against really dastardly forces.
Well, you know, we're concentrating on ET folks tonight, so thoughts are we the receivers of supernatural intelligence? And Tommy, we can't hear you. You've got two different lines up here that are on.
I only have one.
Okay, there you are. All right, well, then there's somebody else helping us tonight. I've got you. Whoever else is out there listening that called in, thank you. We can see you, and you can chime in anytime you want. All right, I'm just letting everybody know that the text note, we've got problems with Blog Talk Radio buttons. And so all you people that run Blog Talk Radio shows out there, just know that sometimes the blue and the reds flip back and forth, and I'm not doing it, and I don't have a co-host. So nobody else is punching the buttons as far as I know. But I will have them check. That's another thing, Tommy. All right, Tommy, you go take up where you left off while I give them another thing, because I'm going to tell them if I make sure I don't have a co-host signed in or somebody. Go ahead, Tommy. I'm starting to think there's somebody else that's got hold of my account. So go ahead.
All right. So I was talking about how we receive signals, but what are they really, and how much do they take us further in a spiritual place? So when people say they meet with aliens, many do, but most alien races don't allow us to remember, well, many people remember what they're told, and that was a given deal many years ago. So when people say, well, they remember everything, I don't think they remember what they're supposed to, especially when most people say, well, they had a really good trip on an abduction. And since we're trying to talk about communication is about, like, I talk and you listen, you talk, I listen. Abduction means, I don't care what you say, do, I'm taking you and I'm doing what I want with you. That's called an abduction. And people need to learn the difference, especially when they say who and what they worked with and how good it was. Because the last thing I was trying to say, I'm still waiting for a person to come out with information for this world in the moment, present moment, which will change the world when they say it. I mean, what are they bringing to this world, really? I just went over this with my partner, and I talked about it, and I'm saying, all through time, we're given false ideas, make-believe stories, fantasies to believe in. If we were spiritual ever, why would we collapse and become so far from it? And if you believe spirituality is a growth, we should be growing closer to spirit, God, source, whatever you want to call it, rather than further away from it. That being said, the time frame for that to start changing is now. And I feel my time frame to work on this, to get the information that I deal with out, is very critical for that. Sure, everybody says my information is important, but to say that everything's okay, they're watching us, they're helping us, show us the help. Anybody, you claim, show us one device, bring it out to the world. Here's a teleporting device. Here's a laser that can burn through anything. Here's a light beam that can shine to the universe. Let's see something that they bring to us. I mean, if you're going to help somebody, you give them help. And I don't think psychiatry is what the world needs right now. We don't need somebody conditioning our brain, trying to reprogram our thinking. We think. We are real. We're naturally aware beings. Just that we're so programmed in our own ego to believe what's important. Sex and drugs and rock and roll and fun and all those words are the only thing that's important. The children are growing up thinking drinking is the best thing to do. I mean, the cigarette days are kind of being faded out. With drinking, drugs, and really hardcore games, death games, coming close to death, jumping out without opening your parachute, sliding down a mountain. I mean, there's things that we're doing now that push the limit of life. And I mean, when they allow a little kid, 10 years old, to climb Mount Everest, or a little girl to ride a boat around the world, I mean, we're pushing the limits, and that's what we call freedom. But not the word freedom as far as spirituality. It's not connecting us to that. So all these great channelings we're getting, all these, what people say, and I can go through all the channels out there, what they claim, the information that we're getting from them, is very lame. And my whole agenda is to bring people to a level where they look at what they're reading and saying. All right, the Bible's a great book, but what do you perceive in there that's beneficial for you? Somebody's making a lot of noise. But to each one of us, we have to...
Is that you, Cindy?
It stopped. But each one of us has to be able to let go of an idea that's not helping us and put something in that will. Prayer is so critical, but by the same token, it's only one small aspect of what we need to do in life. Action, which I say over and over again, is even if you meet with a couple people and talk to them, and they meet with a couple people and talk to each other, we become aware of things. I mean, that's how a religion gets started, that's how a belief gets started, and that's how laws get implanted. And basically, the Constitution of the United States was created basically by Native people. It was taken away from them, created, and they were outcast from their own constitution. You
now,
can check
how do
on
you
that.
Know that? Is that our history? Yeah, how do we check that out?
Well, you can pull up the Constitution, where it came from, how it started, where they pulled it up from. The Native people, the whole thing about the eagle, that was the Native symbol of strength. The arrows that the eagle held was this six tribes. And if you listen to the stories of the Native elders and how they brought out the teachings, and they said, as one, they take an arrow and they break it. But they said, here, take five arrows and try to break it. You can't. And they were stressing the strength of the union of the Native people. It wasn't the union of the white people, or the Spanish and the British. And then,
the Indians taught the white man how to survive, right?
Well,
in the beginning, because we got killed in St. James and Jamestown and all that, right?
Well, you know, there was so many different wars going on. The Spanish, the British. We don't even know the facts. People don't even know that who was the first race that actually came to work with the Native people.
Yeah, because the Nordics and the Vikings,
right.
You know, a lot of people claim the Nordic extraterrestrials as the originals from Mu and Atlantis, and then we got all these different people trying to claim information that they're channeling based on Edgar Cayce's way, you know. And I'm not knocking anybody, people. I'm just saying that there's a lot of young kids today believing what they're hearing of the New Age movement and the Ascension Age movement, which is new. And I lead the Ascension Age movement. I can't coin that term, but I got it from Ascension Center extraterrestrials. But I've been working on this energy since the 70s and 80s, but I also believed in extraterrestrials back before there was MUFON, because I was alive and I was at NASA. We couldn't talk about them. We had to keep secrets and go meeting in people's houses. So, Tommy, let's skip over real quick, because we've only got 28 minutes left, and a lot of our time, this has been a real messed up night. But, you know, it's also because we're starting to bring into manifestation the metaphysics or the alchemy of bringing together the Indians, the ETs, and the white man, and the old history of how we all got here in the first place with Atlantis and Mu. So you and I need to bring everything I just said together for this conference we want to have, you know. And do you think you're close enough that we can start talking to people about helping us, and we'll get them to come and help us solve all this stuff you and I are talking about?
Well, here,
you know,
it's just simple. Yes, definitely. It's simple. We have to respect all human life. not color, not race, not religion. We have to respect all human life as one. We don't become one, but we have to respect each other as one. We all breathe the air on this planet. We all drink the water on this planet. We all walk on the dirt of this planet. We all eat from the plants that grow on this planet. We're all very much the same from that viewpoint. It doesn't require that much spiritual growth and spiritual upliftment and all those words. It's a matter of going inside your heart and focusing on this very simple word called compassion. When a person touches that part of themselves, they look at life and they respect it. From a person starving in the street.
You know, you brought up the charter. I just pulled up this great website. It's called archives.com. It says, Charters of Freedom, A New World is at Hand. And we hadn't even come up with a good name yet for the conference, but A New World is at Hand. It's called Charters of Freedom, but it's called archives.com. But it shows the Bill of Rights. So maybe we should start using some of that as our theme on the history side of our conference and call it A New World is at Hand, you know, or because you go with the New Atlantis, you know,
well,
have a political side of the constitutionalist.
I don't know.
And the Bill of Rights, too.
Well, Thomas Jefferson wrote actually the separation of the Constitution, which was really the Patriotic Bill. And basically,
I like
all
Thomas Jefferson,
saying,
but wasn't he an agrarian? Because I believe like he believed in that we were farmers from the industrial age, right? At that particular time or not?
Well, he was also a very big native killer. He spent half of his life going across the coast killing the tribes. George Washington
I didn't know that.
Gave the order to free one tribe while they gave the order to kill two other tribes.
So
it was a sad thing.
Can we go back and find out all of that? Because that's part of our American history now. And even though in the past nobody wanted to teach it to their children, we need to heal that.
When you say bring out the past, bring out the history, white history is written by white people, Native history is written by Native people, every tribe writes their...
Black
their
history is written by black people.
Exactly,
if
but what I'm saying is...
Slavery, the 13th
each
Amendment,
one of them,
you know?
But each one of them does have a slant on their truth. I'm not saying the Native people weren't persecuted and slaughtered and chased and killed. They were. But how they perceived the white man was a lot different than the white man thinks they perceived them. The same as the white man perceived the Native people totally different. They treated the Native people as the demons that lived on the planet, the red race, which actually...
Let me read this, Tommy, okay? This is a deed of gift. Wait, that was the Statue of Liberty. But this is United States as a beacon of liberty, immigration. The bosom of America is open to receive not only the opulent and respectable stranger, but the oppressed and persecuted of all nations and religions, whom we shall welcome to a participation of all our rights and privileges. George Washington, address to Irish immigrants, draft handwritten by David Humphreys, December 2nd, 1783. So isn't that what we're trying to say and create again? It's just gone full circle from when he wrote that address to the Irish immigrants?
You know,
did you hear what it said? It says, we welcome. The bosom
right,
of America is open to receive not only opulent, respectable stranger, but the oppressed and persecuted of all nations and religions, whom we shall welcome to a participation of all our rights and privileges. I think that should be, because we're having it in the United States and bringing all these people together, that should be our George Washington address. But put it up there that it's not just the Irish immigrants now, that you know the Americans, we're bringing this together with what you're talking about, the Indians, right?
Well, it's like we have to deal with all tribes. The United States was the place of the free. And somewhere down the road, they decide they had enough of who they wanted in there. Realize the Native people were here, And then we had this looting people coming in called the colonial people, the Quaker peoples came in, and the British armies came in, and they created their little communities, but they were rebels. They were killing and walking and destroying wherever they went. So here we have the free country, and now suddenly they say, well, we can't let these race in or that race in. We don't limit how many people can come in from Mexico. But who allowed them in? Let's base it on who allowed them in. It wasn't the native people. So what right does anybody have being here if we want to go by the spiritual connection to the laws that we kind of screwed up and changed them to make them fit the way we wanted them to? Now, when we talk about coming into the United States and freedom, I know when my best friend was coming, his family was coming from Cuba. And Cuba only allows to let the prisoners go for free. Any good people that have a job and have a place and all those kind of things, they charge lots of money for them to get out of the country. My friend who I was working with in a phone company had to get $15,000, give it to the Cuban government, and then they said, well, no, you got to come up with $10,000 more if you want your sister to come out of Cuba. And they were charging you, but they would put boats, and they put all the prisoners on the boat and send them to the United States. So, yeah, other countries have control of population for reasons. The United States is playing a very opposite game. The United States is just too many people. So it's kind of a weird situation. But we need to get to the point where, like I said, if we're all equal, if we're all, no matter what part of the world we grew up on, we're born on, we still all walk on this planet, we all should be able to go wherever we want, not with paperwork and saying you can't go there. See, the freedom that we thought we had, we lost a long time ago, and every year that goes by, we lose more of it. And this year, we're going to lose so much after the new year.
So we need to go back to the basics, and that's what Ron Paul was trying to do. And now this libertarian group, I don't know what all they're about, but, you know, I don't want to get religious with our convention, and I don't want to get political, because those two fires, the government's real scared of, because they see it as a control.
TJ.
And they don't want to lose control of either, right?
All right. Well, no, if you want to say you don't want to go into government, you can't go into aliens, because it's a different government. Every system has their own way of governing themselves. If we say, well, we're not going to deal with presidency and world leaders, but we'll deal with aliens, it's still another program.
Government, that is the Alien Council, Intergalactic Relations.
And there's different councils among
different races. And that's what I deal with, because I have to deal with the American culture, international relations, and the alien culture, international relations. So what you just said is true. It resonates with me. You get what I'm saying? I have to speak for extraterrestrial involvement. But see, you got all these Galaxy Federation people that are, I guess what we're trying to do in all our minds, what you're talking about, these channeling people getting their higher source or whatever they're creating in their screen of the mind or, you know, a lot of people really believe that they can take their brain, which is impossible, and step it out of the way, you know, because we're all dealing with the pineal gland. And neuroscience doesn't even know all the parts that make your brain work yet. You know, they're working on it, but it's not pure science. So while we're still working on pure science and neuroscience, and I'm all for whole brain thinking and full consciousness, which is where we had the night with not Bashar, but Sodome dude, you know, Kosal Kosal Ooch, and from the country, and said we were all dumbed down. We're all dumbed down, you know, all of us. But we'll say if you did want him to come, you know, if he did decide to come, we don't have an exhibit. We've only got a book room. But if he wants to bring his Bottomé and have a table, we're charging 300 folks $300 for a table for all 3 days. But my point is we're trying to find which people, because we only got so many tables, because me and Tommy, we got to work this through the Ascension Center organization. which is about tonight's ET Thoughts, Are We Receivers of Supernatural Intelligence? So that should be our theme, Tommy, I think. So, you know what I'm saying? But it's also the spiritual side is bringing together the white man with all colored people, red, black, blue, green.
Well, realize they tried this. They tried this about 25 years ago, and it was called the Rainbow Tribe. And they tried to bring all tribes together, except even through that,
The gays got it. Now it's
Wait. Let me finish.
LGBTQ. Yeah, go ahead.
You start watering down the truth of each tribe to fit everybody else's idea. Now, even when the secret...
I just got a hit. Yeah, but go ahead.
Okay, when the secret came out, here's a guy, a couple people saying, oh, just imagine and think whatever you want and you'll have it. It was great in theory, and it's definitely not fact, and it doesn't work factually, all right? But the same token is the person that was involved with the secret thought he was so spiritual, decided to do a native ceremony, which was called the Sweat Lodge, and he brings 16 people inside it. And little did he know, because he wasn't truthful as far as what he knew about it or understood it, he created a sweat lodge with these people inside, and they all started dying. The reason why they were dying, there was plastic inside the sweat lodge, which was burning and producing toxic fumes. He was claimed to be spiritual or higher connected and all these things, and he thought he was going into a spiritual growth or experience, not realizing he was dying, and so were the people inside. So a few of the people died, and the rest of them all had to go to the hospital and almost died. I mean,
wow. So no more sweat lodges, at least in public, right?
Well,
or people don't know what they're doing because they didn't know.
Well,
somehow he got plastic fumes into his fire. Throw something in it, in the fire?
Well, no. The sweat lodge was made out of plastic. And, you know, plastic can't stand here. So what I'm saying is when you mix people with teachings, and you say, well, we're going to use all their teachings. If you don't,
and they don't know what they're doing, they're going to kill themselves.
Exactly. But I went to a couple of rainbow ceremonies and things like that. And even on the sexual end of it, like nudity and things, suddenly it becomes a game. On a reservation in a sweat lodge, I went in with all the people from the reservation. And all the men go in one and the women do another. But all the men go in with shorts on. You go to a rainbow gathering, everybody's naked, they're all taking showers together naked, and it becomes a totally different thing. I know certain people might think that's a cool thing, but in reality, you if you believe in...
Okay, I don't want people mixing. I don't want that tantra polyamory, let's get naked and shower together and do other things together, involved in our... They do that on the West Coast, but we're not going to do that on the East Coast, okay?
They might do it
on this side, but I don't know about it.
They can't merge. They don't merge together. They don't fit together. I mean, that's why...
Yeah.
I mean, when you take away from a teaching and try to make it fit into another teaching, you're changing. You have to create a new teaching, which Jesus came when he came to give a new teaching, and he said, he who has no faith, follow me.
That's where we're arguing, me and Janet. See, she believes in polytheism and tantra, and her husband is really big on free sex and love and how all that, and she's my best friend as far as the last few years that we came together, and I've never met her. But, you know, she and I wanted to have a conference. It was me, you, and Janet is how we got this far. So I don't want to take her out of the equation just any more than I want you out of her equation. So I'm trying to keep y'all playing as the power of three, the three of us. And it's not easy because we've already seen we don't do the polyamory thing, and they're more open over there. And I understand that in her therapy position, and her husband is a counselor, that since all these people are doing this anyway, that they go in and try to give it some kind of respectability with him being a PhD in anthropology and her being, you know, one that found him on the internet. See, she was a computer geek and had computer background, but she was also left the religion, you know, her sister became Mormon, they were Presbyterians, and she's followed a path of what she calls ascension age now, but it was New Age. You know, she got on the New Age kick and went and read all the books and went to all the conferences, and she followed all the Star Trek conferences. And we have a whole lot of people like that now because of the whole, you know, we all lived through this the last 40 or 50 years. So this is the way we're all programmed. It's just that the schism is not just between politics and religion. It's also inside all the religions, but it's also inside the New Age community. Because you have all these we're all free thinkers, and we're all about liberty. But when you break it down into past the age of Aquarius, because Janet's even going back to the old age where she's calling it Aquarian radio, and I tried to get on tonight, and we couldn't make it work. So she couldn't. I wasn't me pushing the buttons, folks, because I'm having trouble with my own buttons. But all I'm saying is, I am TJ, and I am Semyase, which is a name of respect by the extraterrestrials, because they trained and groomed me through angels or whoever guys you want to call them, ETs, aliens, I don't care, because they don't care. You know, it's just energy. But out of respect, I get called Semyase TJ. Now, as Semyase TJ, I want to be able to play and spread love and light, our love and enlightenment, our love and education, our art, culture, and education, but also bring it together in an intelligent intervention with science, technology, and philosophy that man has created, humans. You know, humans. So the way she explained it to me tonight before my show, because she wanted me to be on her show, is we started with my show and my Ascension Center, but my Ascension Center was, I told you, and you don't have to agree with me, Tommy, that I got the, you know, I was studying all this from back, you know, the 60s with MUFON, and then the Aquarian Age bookstore in Houston, read all the books, and then so I've got ET, or MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, and NASA involved in my convention in my mind. So I'm trying to bring NASA, the UFOs, and I love the Indians. And I did have an Indian, you know, relatives in my blood. We went to Roswell, New Mexico. So I want the Indians involved because they healed me, too, when I was a little girl. And you represent Indians to me. So I want this, but I don't want to just throw out the cake. That's you, Tommy, making all that noise now because everybody else is turned off. They're on mute. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to tell me, well, you can't invite Janet because she believes in polyamory. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is that church-like? Is that right? Is that charity? Is, you know, because a lot of people wouldn't want her in their church either, and she wouldn't want to go to their church, you know, so she, well, it works out. So. But I don't want us to be a closed religion, because we're not, and I don't want us to be, you know, 90-90 boo-boo, you can't come. So I think it's what she says, 90-90 boo-boo.
Here's a rough scenario. Right. Here's a rough scenario to try to think of. All right.
Okay.
Say you got the city, or let's take a whole state. Let's take Colorado. We're given Colorado, and all the New Age people, all their Ascension people, all the Aryan people, we got this whole state to do what we want with. We want to make it a spiritual city. All right. We decide to make all the food organic and are the best we can. We decide to have certain boundaries because you can't have somebody going in somebody's house because they feel like going in somebody else's house. Or, I mean, you have to create some kind of laws because without them, we can't function totally. And then we have it set up where we have the laws saying no killing, no beating, any of those things. If any of those things happen, they get thrown out of the state. We have to create the word boundaries. If there's no boundaries, it's total freedom, and with total freedom comes total chaos. So if we're creating this bliss state it has to be in a way that everybody can step into it, but it's almost an impossibility to have everybody fit into it. So we have to make separations. And I think Escape from New York was one of the best examples of creating a system like that. You take all
Wait a minute. We can't go on with philosophy anymore. We've got to get back down because we're fixing to be off the show. So instead of Colorado, I need you to concentrate all your energy on one mission, one project from this day forward. And that is, if you've got your date set for a convention, this is supposed to be for all the Ascension centers all over the world to come. If they are a leader of an Ascension center, they can be invited, and we can invite them. You know, from Puerto Rico, we got one there. We got one in Germany. We got one in New Zealand. We got one in the Netherlands. We got one in Canada. So we've got all these people that are friends of mine that I can invite as a leader, but they can't bring their whole country or state because we don't have room. And we're talking not Colorado, Tommy. We're talking Tennessee because that was the closest one that I knew had already worked out the deal with Ken Seaton, and his daddy owns it. And Ken's not running the conventions anymore. So I asked you to call Gwen, and I gave you her phone number. Now, you've been working with her, and she's a very spiritual lady, and you're trying to work out for the entire world's Ascension Center to have their first convention and meet each leader if they want to come, right?
Right.
So now I need you to think, you know, we've got to have boundaries, like you said, which we already have some, because all the leaders are going to meet in the United States, number one. Then you break it down to the state is Tennessee, and then you break it down to who founded it was me. And then I ask you to help me, which is President Tommy. And then Tommy talked to Gwen, who is spiritual, that will help you with the boundaries, because we've got to have money and a contract signed. And we got to have a room for the Ace Folk Life, because that was the original festival volunteers and the book club. And see, my people that will come from over here to help me, they wrote books so they could be in the Ace Folk Life group. My husband, Debbie, you know, those two. So
right.
We have to have the book authors, and you and me are book authors. You know, so now we got the authors, so there's another boundary. So now we have to take Pigeon Forge, which is the Grand Resort Hotel, folks, in Tennessee. It's Grand Resort Hotel and Conference Center. But right now, even though Tommy and I would like to invite the whole world into the Conference Center, we don't have $5,000 to give her per day for 3 days. So we've got to create this whole new energy and focus on consciousness, full consciousness, and what we're going to create in the future. And I want to bring in whole brain thinking, so I want to have the science side of the room too. But it's going to be very small in the beginning, because we are only trying to get the leaders, Tommy, you know, the ones that
right.
can help us form this for the entire world. And it's not a religion. It's a faith-based organization, but it's for light workers and truth seekers, and the Reiki people want to be involved with the Buddha people and the Taurus people, right? The Thrive people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and I personally ask you to bring the American Indians, and I don't know, because I only know Chief Golden Eagle and Alan, his nephew, for the Star Nations, and I told him I would help promote for them. And then we've got the Alchemy, and I've got Alchemy conferences made on a new page. And Alchemy brings in mythology, spirituality, and religion all in one under Alchemy. So we also have metaphysics and supernatural. And now Christians and the TV evangelists are claiming the word supernatural in all their, televangelism. So they're crossing over. And I told them a long time ago when I was truck driving, I'd go around and talk to these people. that they need to follow what the New Age was doing, and they started doing it for music, bring in more music, you know, allow drums into the church because a lot of them use drums, because that was just the way it was going. And so when I traveled around the world, I sort of helped the Ascension Age because it combined all religions and all New Age thought. You see what I'm saying? So they're sort of programmed that way, but they got a long way to go. We've got a 2,600 year, but 50 years is, we can concentrate on everybody coming and talking about the next 50 years could be a boundary. Let's just talk about the next 50 years. 50 years is good. So with all of that, you think you can bring, I don't know who you'll get for Indian, but you're half Indian, right? And I've got Indian
right.
blood.
I mean, so I'm going to be in touch. I'll be in touch with one of my friends, hopefully, in the next day or two. She's been on the lecture scene for a couple months, and she's finally coming home. But she
okay.
works with a lot of people, a lot of Native people all across the United States.
Well,
so,
have you talked to Alan? Have you called Alan for the Star Nations to see if they want to come? And see, they can come over and either represent at a table for their conference. And Janet can come represent for Stargate to the Cosmos with her and Lorian, right, and get a table. And then
right.
you give David one for Alchemy in California. So there's three tables right there with their conferences. And then MUFON, me and John Ventry want a MUFON table. So there's four tables already. You get what I'm saying? And then you're going to have Steve want to come and represent whatever he's about, which he came to me about working with the government as a contractor and weaponry and guns and silver, and he changed over to Reiki. And I'm finishing his book. So in his mind, you know, I'm helping him with his book because I told him I would because he didn't have anybody to help him with it. So I'm going to get his book ready so he can go present it at the Alchemy Conference. And I don't know how he'll get over here because he won't get on a plane. So I told him he'd have to hitch a ride maybe with Lorian or I don't know. Lorian won't get on a plane either. So they're going to have to drive. So anyway, but you see how quick this thing can fill up, right?
Right.
And the
no,
tables are 300 a day. And that's just the leaders in the world get to come. And are recognized, and then each conference can come, right, that you know. And then you may want, I was counting on maybe Karen Dolan might want to come represent her and Richard, right?
Right. TJ, did you say $300 a day?
No, it's $300. It's $100 a table a day
for
12 hours to represent. That's
right.
to represent. And they have to stay the whole time. Now, some of them may want to break down at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and that's okay if they're not part of this, you know, in the other room. But
right.
some of them, but I think they need to pay $100 a day, which is $300 for the 3 days, regardless of whether that we allow them to break down after 5 on Sunday. And that's not in stone. That's up to you because it's your you have to manage the whole thing for everybody to make
right.
sure you make the how we set up all these boundaries. And you'll have to talk to Gwen about that because we don't want them running tables and those carts back and forth and interrupting the whole thing. So you need to ask her because most conferences will not let you break down the last day till 9 o'clock that night, right? Because you've got carts running back and forth in people's way that are paid for the whole day.
I already said to a lot of people we'll probably be leaving around 4 o'clock on Sunday because most people that do have to get a plane or get somewhere want to start the trip right away. So I don't want to make it that they can't get out until 10 o'clock at night and then they're on a late night flight trying to find one or whatever. So I think.
Well, they should have all of them booked, but you still got to charge $300 for the whole weekend for the.
No. I understand
we're
that
small.
Part of it. No, I agree with that part.
We can't charge them $900 or $800 like these people do at the big conferences, because this really is about us getting together to discuss what we're going to teach in the next 50 years for our Ascension Center organization and all the breakdowns for mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, prophets, even the prophets, and how Indians, I don't know what they call them, Indian guides, or what's their titles besides chief? I know Chief Golden Eagle. What's he?
Well,
what are they called?
That's always the word they use.
How many of them do they want to come represent? All right, well, how many chiefs? Because Chief Golden Eagle says he's the chief of no nation. But some of them are going to want to be involved because we're going to work together to change the world.
I'm working on that right now. I'm going to, like I said, hopefully in a day or two I'll be talking to my friend and get some numbers and some people.
All right, because only certain people. And it's like you said, we have to have boundaries. And I'm, it's unfortunate that we don't have any sponsors to give us all this money to bring this together. But at the same time, we don't want to appear that all this is just about money either, because it's not. It's about bringing together spiritual people that realizes the paranormal and the supernatural intelligence behind what we're doing and how they all feel like they're leaders in what you said, their particular culture, right? This is American culture, international relations is what it's about. And yet, how can we bring American culture, international relations, in line with alien culture, international relations, and then the ET thoughts, and then get them to talk about, are we receivers of supernatural intelligence? And if we are, how do they want to go forward with their books and their videos and what we can all agree to? And we may not all come to a powwow. We may not all come to an agreement. There may not be a peace pipe passed. But if we have a talking stick and a peace pipe not filled with anything but symbolic, you know, not we're not going to be smoking anything, because over here we don't drink or smoke at all. I don't smoke or drink. So it's going to have to be, you know, what do you think? Did I lose you? Apparently. All right, folks. Well, I guess that ended that. I guess we weren't going to get to talk anymore. All right. Well, that's the end of the show. So, Cindy, it's been nice. I don't know if you can hear me or not. We're having difficulties tonight, but we're to a point, folks. Cindy, can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just had you on mute.
You were just muted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Cindy, you stay where we're at. We're trying to figure out all these people that will be allowed to come for this Ascension Center organization and come in with these ET thoughts or receivers of supernatural intelligence, this sort of thing, but we're trying to get all the people from all these different groups into the Ascension Age and what we're going to teach for the next 50 years and who are all involved. And then what they're going to, you know, certain people are going to be asked to come and bring their books and help people. And then we can have a bigger one with a big, we can grow into getting the $5,000 for the big conference center and invite everybody next year, you know, 2014, right? But this year is just the two rooms. Just
so where is
people
this going
to be involved. At the Pigeon Forge, in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and it's at the Grand Resort Hotel and Conference Center. So everybody will get to come that wants to be involved in the next 50 years working with, you know, ET people like me and how you believe and Tommy believe in Reiki and the Indian spirit. So it's a spiritual, paranormal, supernatural gathering of the leaders of the various Ascension Center organizations and the Ace Folklife Book Club, people that write books about paranormal, spirituality, supernatural, intelligence, whole brain thinking, consciousness, and history, because it's Ace Folklife Historical Archivist Club members and ACO Associated Consultants and Organizers that support Ascension Center Enlightenment classes about art, culture, education, entertainment, science, history, folklife, ancient astronauts, TV, movie, books, authors, and we're all co-creators. So we're all individuals and we all have individual life stories and biographies, and we're all have different groups and books we want to support. You know, this is what our culture is. This is what we want to promote. So we're all going to get together and share what we think we're going to be engaged in for the new story to teach others about 2013 and the awakening process. And that's why I was asking you if you wanted to help write the curriculum, you know, for the new awakening process, but you said you're not a writer. So that's why most of the people coming are going to be authors. And then there may be people want to just come and see how we all work it out, you know, like video the powwow and all these conference leaders and leaders of the Ascension Centers around the world. And some of them have the Ascension Center hospitals going up. Since I made the logo and Canada Ascension Center accepted it, I saw some people use my logo on their hospitals. Isn't that
Can
weird
I just
to
say
them?
Something about that? I have always felt that when we go through the shift, if hopefully good ETs do come in to assist us, I am hoping for a lot of healing on the physical level, healing on the emotional level. I hope for that.
Maybe you can help think about that and be writing about what you think should be addressed.
Well, because I think that there are technologies that the elite have already. And, you know, if you look at some of these people, they live for very, very long lives. You know, they have access to food that isn't degraded like the rest of us have to eat. You know, plus they have technologies. I could see it being things like frequency and light. I mean, that's just me. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, you'll have
and
to
I'm
write
hoping
all that down or put it in a book or get somebody that's written a book for the next 50 years.
I can write like crazy, but I'm still in the phase where I am getting the information. So,
yeah, but you're going to be left out of this whole thing if you don't have something to offer. And you have to
you know
either
what I think?
a conference or a book writer.
I think that the information is changing so rapidly that we don't know what it's even going to be. Like, I think that we're just...
That's why we're bringing them together in 2013, because by then, everybody should have grounded down and got their history done. Because on 12/21/12, that's the date that if they, all their past lives, if they've got to know anything, they're going to know it on that date. Or by the time they wake up within the next 24 hours, they will have grounded and balanced themselves to accept, you know, the next 5 days into the new year. That's what this whole thing's about, because, see, the Akashic Field records shut off 12/21/12. So nobody knows what the future's going to be for the next 50 years. And all the people I teach are the mystics and the oracles and the psychics and the sages and seers and the prophets. And none of them are projecting past 12/21/12.
What do you think about what some people have said, that they think that 12/21/12 is sort of like a cosmic reset button? Like, it seems as if we've been on a time loop. And even I know in my life and a lot of people's lives, they feel like they've been living an altered life that wasn't what they saw in the future. I know that I used to see into the future when I was a child, and my life was altered. So perhaps 12/21/12.
Well, it could skip a track. It could skip a track.
Sets everything back to what it should have been. Like we've been on,
we've been on the altered timeline.
Right. That we've been on an altered time loop.
Yeah, like a Twilight Zone thing or Outer Limit thing, you know. So some people do believe that they're time travelers coming back from the future, like that John Teeter that came on George Nouri's show, or either, I think it was Art Bell back then. So John Teeter, we're going to have some time. If nobody else represents time travel, I will. But
I've seen time travel.
See if David Anderson wants to come over David Anderson's the only one I trust. That's one of my, he found me. He found me in the Social Paranormal magazine, because I've had Social Paranormal magazine.
Did he think that you were a time traveler also,
yes.
DJ?
Yes.
Well,
because
I think I have,
me.
I absolutely 100% know that I've done time travel.
Right. So you may want to work with the healers and the time travel group, and that's David Anderson. If he doesn't represent the time travelers, I'm going to as J.T. or John Teeter, but I'm T.J. So,
but, you know,
I'm
even
the,
like the time,
reverse.
Time travel.
He's the man. I'm the woman time traveler.
The time travel
what?
Is like the time travel is zoning into different frequencies. And we have that ability as humans to find the frequency, and the frequency and the vibration is the time.
Right. So I'm going to do that if David Anderson doesn't come back. But he's over in India is what I know. And I don't know, because you and Tommy hadn't talked to Peter Moon yet, but he phones Peter Moon, and I haven't heard from him. So I've got to keep my Social Paranormal up, because that's – but his websites are all down, and that's why Sandra Sabatini – see, he was going to be the speaker. And see, I recommended David to Sandra. They were my Facebook friends, so I put them together years ago, and then – anyway, it's gotten all messed up, and so has David. So now David, let me tell y'all, folks, David, we're helping David, not David Anderson. We'll help David, but David's over in India working on a project for the government right now, or DARPA or something. I don't know.
What is he doing?
He always works on time travel. He always is like me. We're all contractors, and we try to do what we can do to help the future.
I've heard him talk about his things for the government, but I don't remember
exactly.
Yeah, he's
a government contractor like me, but what we do is we try to do it for ourselves and the people.
But do you get the feeling like the government is doing this like last ditch effort to just try to hang on as much as they can and see what's beyond?
Well, they're hanging on to all the jobs if they can, because, that's what the... So
or just minimize the damage.
It doesn't matter whether Obama or Cheney, listen to me, Romney get in, because they're both sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
They need to both look after government jobs. It's just which of the government jobs get the most money, see, because we got to have all the people need to build the infrastructure for America, because all these other countries are all rebuilt up new buildings, new stuff, have all the latest and greatest for the future. And if they don't, they're going that way, and especially the European countries over there, the Europe money, the oil money, since we made them all rich, they've got all brand new buildings and beautiful things, and they're tearing down having us destroy all the old history so they can rebuild new stuff with the oil money. That's what that's all about. And then the rich get richer. But what we're saying is leave the old stuff alone. At least let us have some of our old temples and stuff in some of the old pretty, I like old history art as much as I do future stuff. So it's about control of the future. Is it all going to be just new, fancy stuff, or is it going to be that we can still appreciate? Now, the extraterrestrials like a lot of our history, antiques, and a lot of our old books, Moby Dick, certain things, just like on Star Trek, that they keep some of the old, and they like the new. So it's got to be a little bit of the past, a little bit of now, and a little bit of the future. And we just keep the best of the best, just like the extraterrestrials do in us. Each one of us is the best of the best. We're all the best of the history of our time. We're all the best of the future in our time. So we each represent a various groups, 7 billion groups out there in all the various levels of the universe, multiverse, metaverse, universe, omniverse, and alphaverse, and omegaverse. So we're all the best, 7 billion. And each one of us represent their stake in the future on this one planet. So that, if you think of it higher levels, that makes sense. So, see, that's why you have to be about self-fulfilling, and you still have to care about self while you're thinking about all the others that you represent as the
vehicle.
Can I
tell you something, TJ? And this is on the line of ETs or, you know, strange phenomenon. I believe I had a visitor last night while I was sleeping.
They're trying to get you to represent them because
you can tell me on the phone because I have two different ideas about what it was. But can you pick up on what?
Want you to, like everybody, Janet. And I'm thinking you're Janet, Cindy. Everybody is listening to their selves, their higher consciousness, their God source. Because everybody is important on this planet to represent. They are representing.
Can you get what you think visited me last night while I was asleep? Do you get that?
Yeah,
I got
they're all extraterrestrial angel levels. They're good people. You know, the ones that are here that know me are good side people. They're good people.
So they want to help the future. Do you see that I had a visitor last night?
Yes, I know you did.
Did you get who it was?
Well, I see it as a male person, just but more androgynous, more like the crystalline beings. They look androgynous.
Do you get it as a
golden being that's sort of androgynous, like an avatar, is what I see.
I don't know if this visitor was an ET or if it was somebody that I know as human and it was a part of their, you know, extension as human.
No, it was a good visitation. And I just think you need to raise your thoughts to the ascension process of what you're going to help create in the next 2,600 years and what your people that you represent want to see represented on Earth. You know, in the new beginning. The new beginning is the new convention and the new conference we're bringing together. And that's why we're only inviting the people that feel in tune to the Ascension Age and the Ascension Center are either their authors of the past, of the Ace Folklife. They've already written their books, and they want to come represent the past as an Ace Folklife member. So that's why Tommy and I can only have two rooms, you know. One's for the Ace Folklife book authors and representing history and the past way we thought. And then the conference room is going to be the people that are going to be presenting 90 minutes for 3 days because we can only have so many speakers to represent who they represent, their colony, their culture, their extraterrestrial. It's a meeting like the Galaxy Allied Federation, you know, like you see on Star Wars or Star Trek. This is the meeting on Earth of all the various leaders, like Queen Amidea or whatever her name was, you remember? Amidala with Star Wars when she goes
to
that big room.
No, I don't remember that one. Yeah, but you know what I keep seeing is like just the light healing.
It's our light healing circle. We'll have a light healing circle too. You know, we'll send out all the energy. You know, the intention call or the light circle that we have at the ET Spirits because the UK wants me to have the UK is really big on spirit guides and they want to be involved in this conference because they represent all the people that write for the Spirit Guide magazine. And I can't invite all those people. They'll fill up the 200. We can only have 200 people in each room. So I can only have 400 people at a time. You know, here I am trying to help the entire world with the future. So my time travelers will be there in the other dimension. And then I have various density people will be there. And then people like you that want to come and bring the light worker people and the Reiki people, you know. And then Tom, my husband, wants to bring the authors and the spy people, the past government people that are retired that want to see us move into the future, you know, not making the same mistakes that we made in the past with weapons and UFOs. Because my husband works in third dimension density with extraterrestrials like I do on the ships. But they're real, just like in Star Trek. They just don't let the people on the Earth know. So that's sort of what people call exopolitics and disclosure. They just don't know we're already here on the planet, you see. So the government's just hoping that will be delicate and see what develops. That's why, you know, history. And I don't even know if George Tsoukalos is going to get to come. Tsoukalos, you know, with the History Channel, Intrepid magazine, and his his Ancient Alien group yet. I don't even know if he's going to get to come yet. But anyway, but I got to get off the radio. So you keep all that in mind.
Okay.
And
all right,
we appreciate
good night,
you coming. Good night, sweetie. All right, folks, good night. That's tonight's show. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Love and light. We're going to get out of here.